These things are good and profitable unto men. Then he gives us instruction. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. In other words, the Apostle Paul was warning his student Titus, be careful about those that sow and bring false doctrine. You know, in the body of Christ, you're not allowed to ever just anybody stand up and speak. And most of the people that have false doctrine don't have any idea that their doctrine is false. You know, and their minds, they think they're telling the truth. And some of the people that were still caught up in the law thought they were telling the truth because they haven't had revelation and understanding of being in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so God wants us to know and understand that the Father has come to set us free, but we're to be careful to maintain good works. You know, in other words, when Paul sent this letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he was correcting some wrongs that were in the body of Christ. There was some incest in the body. There were some things that were taking place. And Paul addressed them, how to handle them in the body of Christ. And so when he's talking about these things, he didn't send the word to condemn anybody. He sent the word to bring life in the fullness thereof. And God is speaking to you and I, hey, there's nothing wrong with being a do-gooder. Hello? I asked myself a question the other day. I was saying, you know, Lord, if this isn't real, I know it's real, but I'm just posing a question to myself, saying, if this wasn't real and I served my entire life doing good and blessing people and doing good, what harm was it? What harm was it? Hello? Hey, you know, there's a misconception of what fun is. Hello? We've been misled what fun is. You know, if we would come in here, listen to me, church. If you and I would come in here and get an attitude that it's fun to praise the Lord, you would praise Him with a different attitude. Instead of coming in with an attitude, I have to do it. Oh, this is what I have to do on Sunday. I can't believe they're still singing. Hello? Come on. But if we would get the attitude that it's fun, it's okay to have fun in here. It's okay to smile. It's okay to love on someone. Hallelujah. It's good to love people. Hey, good to have you back this week. These three children are from Newport News in for the spring break. Hallelujah. What were we talking about? Having fun. Yeah, you know, God's bringing a word today, okay, about us being careful, about us being cautious what we think, what we speak, and the actions we take. You know, so many times when we ponder a thought, we have that thought, whether we spoke it or not, sometimes if we dwell on the thought, it does something inside of us. It sows something. And the Apostle Paul was saying to Titus, hey, it's okay. Hey, be careful to maintain some good works. Then he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he'd be careful to maintain godliness. Let me view where I'm at. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. The apostle writes to his student Timothy, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, that exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. In other words, the apostle is saying it's to be careful to maintain godliness. He says, look at this. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, we're not saying not to exercise. We're encouraging you to come out to the, what's it called? Praise, fit for Jesus. What is it? Jamming to Jesus. J to J. Hallelujah. You don't want me to do it. You scare people off. But what the Apostle Paul was saying here is, you can be buffed. You can be slim, slender, buffed, worked out, and exercising. But if you ain't going, got Jesus in your heart, you're going to die a dead person, just muscular. Amen. Amen. And he said, the key is our trust in Jesus. Amen. Hey, that's why we're here, to celebrate Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have victory through here. Amen. Now, I'm not saying don't exercise. Do your push-ups, your crunches? Do your little jogging or your walking? Amen? Amen? But exercise in the spirit too, not just in the flesh. Amen? 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 You know, we're dealing in the spirit realm. All right? And we're not just dealing in the natural. Amen. So we you know, just as much as we work out our bodily exercise, we need to exercise in the spirit also. You know, Jude says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're studying the word to show ourselves approved, the workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're growing into the knowledge of the things of God. Apostle Paul was saying, hey, be careful to maintain your good works. Be careful to maintain godliness. But I think one of the things where we miss so much is, be careful to maintain your gratefulness. Being grateful. Man, if we would have a heart of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness, we won't be so sad about the things that we don't have. We'd be more grateful for what we do have. Amen. There would be some contentment that came. You know, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, he says that you brought nothing into this world and you're not going to take anything with you. Amen. So I think it's so important for you and I to maintain a gratefulness. So look with me in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If the peace of God is ruling in your heart isn't affected by what everyone else does. Because if you're being affected by what everyone else does, they're ruling your heart, not the Lord. Ouch. I didn't like that one. He says, for you and I, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. So if I'm letting the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding rule my heart, and I'm grateful and I'm not thankful, I'm not letting everything else around me affect my heart. I'm not letting them affect my condition. Amen? I mean, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal what God's purchased for you and I. I have peace because God gave me the Prince of Peace. He gave me the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. And Jesus said, He is the Prince of Peace. So that peace that surmounts every bit of understanding is living inside of you. So what God is saying to you and I today, stop letting the outside affect what's on the inside. Let what's on the inside affect the outside. If greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world, amen, we're not responding as the world responds. I don't know about you, but I got the Spirit of God. And those words that come from Him is words of life, words of love, amen, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Amen. Those are the things that flow from the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't let nothing steal my joy. Because when it steals my joy, it gets an effect on me on the inside. Amen. And if joy is my strength, and I let the things on the outside affect and steal my joy, it's going to affect and stink up everything around me. Because all of a sudden, it's not going to be the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be fruit of the flesh that is flowing. Amen. So he says to be careful to maintain good works, careful to maintain godliness, careful to maintain gratefulness, cautious about what we think. Come on now. Somebody comes up to you and says something, and it hits you the wrong way. What does the Bible say? Casting down every imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God and bringing under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Because if I let it have an effect on me on the inside, what's coming out is death, not life. Right. You know, when the Word of God says life and death are in the power of the tongue, they that love it eat the fruit thereof. In other words, we have control through the Spirit of God what comes out. You know? Amen? Is anybody with me here today? Then he says this. He says we're being careful, cautious about what we think, our thought life, what we speak, and the actions we take. But also, we're being corrected. How many in the room like to be corrected? Praise God, I've got the right audience here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you see this word, listen to me. Corrected comes from the Greek word epinorthosis. It's spelled E-P-A-N-O-R-T-H-O-S-I-S. Epinorthosis. And it means to straighten up again. In other words, when you get out of line, correction comes in to straighten us up again. Okay? Are you with me? And like when you don't listen to your mommy or your daddy or your parents and you get in trouble, they give you a word of correction to straighten you up again. Is that okay? Does that ever happen? Boy, it happened to me all the time when I was a kid. Amen. My daddy used the rod of correction. Hallelujah. But with that in mind, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Lord wants to get something in our hearts. We read the scripture a lot, and it's 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, Paul, in this second letter to the church of Corinth, the house was out of order. And along in love, Paul spoke a word of correction to get them straight again, to get things aligned back up. And if you look at something here, he says it's given for the is profitable for doctrine. That's our course. That's our course we take. For reproof, that's conviction. Amen. That's to convict us of the wrong. Correction, that's to straighten us up again. For instruction, that's the counsel.
Yep.
That's the counsel that he's counseling you and I in righteousness, that we may be, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and do all good works. Amen. So as Paul was writing this letter, he was writing this letter of commendation to them, not only because they were careful, they took what he had sent, but they received correction. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Hello? Something came out here Wednesday night. I got to bring this up because the Holy Spirit brought this up. If you commit a sin and you justify the sin by what someone else did, you never confessed of the sin. You did the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. You blamed someone else. And what God is saying, when you're wrong, own up and just say, I'm wrong. Don't justify you're wrong. You know, so many times I find myself trying to justify my actions. I was running in the park the other day, and it was raining. And the time was kind of messed up because I had stopped. And never mind, I'm not going there. Yeah, I'm going there. I thank God for the favor of God. I leave my house and it's pouring down raining. I go to the park to run. I believe God gives me favor. I don't know. I don't want to get big-headed, but I believe he gives me favor. So I got out of my car and went to start to walk, and it was raining, and all of a sudden the rain stopped. I did my journeys around the park. And there's these other two gentlemen, only ones, because the park's soaking wet because it had been raining. And there's two other gentlemen. And I was coming to the end of my run, and I felt something in me to tell these guys, hey, I'm getting ready to leave it. It's going to begin to pour. But then I thought, oh, I'm big-headed. You know, I was like, the Lord told me to tell them, but I thought, oh, I'm big-headed. But so I didn't do it. But my car was about here to that wall right out there. And by the time I passed some guys and got to that wall, I got in my car. It was like the heavens opened up and it was started pouring down raining. And it was just God saying, hey, be sensitive to what he says and do what he calls us to do. Amen. And when the Lord brings a word of correction, let me say this to you. A wise man will receive a word of correction. A fool will reject it. Hello? Hello? God didn't give us this word to beat us up with, but he gave us this word to straighten us up. Sometimes we get out of line. Sometimes we get in the wrong road. Sometimes we're heading the wrong direction. But God brings us a word of correction to bring us back to where he's called us to be. He didn't send the word to hurt you with it, to beat you up with it. He sent the word because he loves you and he has a plan in your heart and life. Amen. And if you receive the word in the wrong way, you didn't receive it the way that God sent it. God loves everyone in the room. I'm not here to point out anyone's sin. I'm not without sin. I'm not here. Just like Paul, he didn't write the letter to the offender or the offended. He wrote the letter to the body of Christ, and he set a standard. You know, turn with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. You know, this is familiar. We always quote Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Everybody knows that scripture, don't they? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. But it doesn't stop there. There's a number 7. Okay? Number 7 says this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In other words, this is healing for cancer. Listen to it. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You know what chastening is? It's a gentle spanking. My dad never spanked gently. Neither be weary of his correction. Here's the key. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as the father the son in whom he delighteth. So, in other words, when you feel the word come and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart that something's out of line and God's trying to straighten you up again, don't receive it out of that it's pointed at you, that it was sent to beat you up. The word comes to envelop you with God's love, that he loves us so much. You know, and in Job chapter 5, verse number 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Anybody happy in the room? Come on, anybody happy in the room? Amen. I assure you in this room today, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to every last one in the room where something is out of order. Amen. And God isn't pointing at any individual, but he is saying, hey, when I receive the word of correction, he says, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening or the spanking of the Almighty. For he maketh some sore, and he bindeth up and woundeth, and his hands make whole. In other words, God is the healer, okay? Physically, mentally, spiritually. He says, he shall cover thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from the death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth, for thou shalt be a league with the stones of the field. In other words, no beast bothers a stone. And the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Amen. Happy is the man who the Lord corrects and chastens. Amen. In other words, if he says this to you and I, he said, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good, not for evil. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you an expected end. And God has this great plan for you and I. And I'm journeying down towards this plan. I'm walking right towards the King of Kings, but I get distracted by the window of life and the circumstances and the situations. And I start walking towards those things. Do I want to serve a God who will allow me to keep on walking, or one that quickens me to come back on the path that's going to lead to him? Amen. Amen. That's why we correct our children. We don't correct our children out of anger. Parents, young parents, never correct your child out of anger. Wait a moment. Take a few moments and correct them in love. Amen. Correct them in love. Because we are children of the Father, and that's how we respond. We respond the same way that God responds. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're children of God, right? We're not children of this world. And we're not to act like it. Amen. So he says in this letter when he was writing, they were to be careful. We're going to be corrected. Yep. Hello? I'll sit down on tomorrow morning in my time with the Lord, and he'll correct me. He said, son, you did this when I told you to, and this you said on your own. Amen? He said, sometimes you walk in the spirit, and sometimes you walk in the flesh. And he doesn't beat me up about it, but he gently comes, and he says that you're his children, and he loves you, and he has a plan in every heart and every life in this room. And he's here to encourage you. Correction isn't discouragement. If your children are in school and they make an error on a test, would you rather the teacher say it was correct when it was incorrect? Hello? I know the children would rather that happen, but as a parent, you know, I want you to understand, so when correction comes, it comes in love. He said, and to being cleared. You know that word clear in the Greek comes from the Greek word hagnos. It's spelled H-A-G-N-O-S. It's pronounced hagnos. And hagnos means to be clean, to be innocent. In other words, what the Apostle Paul was saying, because you received the word and you obeyed the word, you were innocent. You were found innocent of this. So turn with me to John chapter 15. Jesus. Jesus says this. He says, now you are clean, in verse 3, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Then he said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Jesus is saying, the word will make us clean. We follow the word. But we have to abide in it as it abides in us. We abide in Jesus. This just isn't a one-time event. Amen? You know, in other words, he says, if you're not abiding in me, you're not going to bear the right fruit. He says, man will know you by your fruit. Amen? And as children of God, hey, we're clean by the word of God. I know when I say to Jesus, forgive me, he forgives me and he removes it. Yes. You see, this church of Corinth, they had a contrite spirit. They had remorse. They were sorry for their actions. In other words, godly sorrow is what the word of God says in our text today. You know, that's why the beloved writes in 1 John chapter 1. You know, I like next week's message a lot better this week, because next week I get to speak about the resurrection. it was like when I was studying this, I was saying, Lord, I had that message that I didn't have an opportunity to speak last week. I said, Lord, how about that one? Oh, how about this one? And the Holy Spirit said, well, how about this one? Because who the Lord loves, he corrects us. And if we are obedient and submissive to us, he clears us. Amen? I don't know about you, but when he cleared me of my sins, he removed them, not to be remembered again. And if they're coming back up and I'm being reminded of them, they're not from him. Amen? They're not from him. It's the adversary trying to remind me of my past because he's so worried about my future. Amen? But God has great plans for us. Amen? He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and to him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Amen? In other words, unconfessed is possessed. In other words, what was the Lord saying? If I'm going to justify my sins, I was never remorseful or sorry about them. What I did is I blamed it. Jeff, the way you came in here today messed up the whole service. That look that was on your face, I can't believe it. Why would you do that to me? Just joking, dude. Jeff, you're a blessing. You got the favor of God on your life. He called you since you were in your mother's womb. He is not going to take the call of God as irrevocable, will not change on your life. He's called you. All He's saying is just answer me and walk and do what I called you to do. I know that the storms of life come in this direction, that direction, every direction, but God brings peace in the midst of it all. Stop looking at the storm and look at towards the Savior, because the Savior is the peace in the midst of all of it. Amen? So we're going to keep our eyes on the prize. Amen? And that's on Jesus, right? Amen? Love you, brother. That's what the Lord says to everyone in the room. Amen? Hey, God loves you, man. Hey, He's proud of you, too. He's like a father. He says, He's strutting in heaven. That's my son. That's my daughter. God said, that's your son, your daughter? Well, let me look at him. Well, son, all I see is you. That's all the Father sees right now when He looks down on you and I as children of God. He only sees His Son. But one day that veil will be whipped over and God will see us just as we are. That's why we're being perfected in the image of Christ Jesus. That's why He's transforming us into His image. That's why He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. His shield is covering you right now. Amen. And God looks down and sees, hey, Pam. And she looks just like you. Look at the way she's dancing the music. Okay, maybe not. Hallelujah. Turn with me to James chapter 4. In closing. The Word of God says this, verse number 6, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And all God's saying is saying, hey, He calls you and I. It's all a matter of the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, He's looking upon our hearts. And what He is saying to us today is simple as this. Be careful. Be careful to maintain good works, godliness, and gratefulness. Being corrected. It's all right to admit that you're wrong. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. In other words, I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt us in due time and due season. He says, hey, when we confess our faults, He'll clear us. He'll clean us. He'll erase them. And what He is saying today, in closing today, as we come to partake of the Lord's broken body and His shed blood, to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us, to allow the Spirit of God to transform us. In other words, hey, if I'm wrong, just say I'm wrong. Amen? God has a plan in every heart and life. He isn't going to give up on you. He isn't going to change His mind concerning you. You're His child. Amen. He's known you since you were formed in your mom's womb. He said every hair on your head is numbered. He knows your goings. He knows your comings. He knows everywhere you've been. There's no secrets. Amen. We're not here to get into anybody's business. God didn't call me to pry and be nosy about your business. But God wants you to know that he's here today to love on you, to minister your heart and life. It's his plan. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. You say it's a matter of the heart, Father God, that you called us to be cautious about what we think, what we speak, and the actions that we take. And Father, that you brought your word to get us aligned again, to get us back on course. So many times in the trials and the tribulations of life and the things just of life get us distracted, get us off course. But your love gently sways us and moves us back to you. Lord, we're grateful that your word declares that you knock on hearts' doors, that when we hear your voice and open that door, you'll come in. Maybe you're here today and you haven't invited Jesus into your heart and your life. Or maybe one time you have, but you've drifted away and you just want to rededicate your life. If there's anybody at all, would you slip up your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Is there anybody at all?